Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Friday Look Back episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo, and this is my opportunity to provide you with my best insights into the world of real estate investing, business, and entrepreneurship. So hopefully everyone had a very Merry Christmas. And as I'm recording this, the new year is around the corner. So we're getting ready to celebrate that holiday. And in advance of that, what I wanted to do was put together some of my thoughts on what 2024 could look like, as well as putting together a couple of strategies and tactics that as real estate investors, you might be able to employ in the coming year in 2024. So we'll talk about those in just a second. But as always, I want to remind everyone that if you are looking to invest in Texas real estate, particularly San Antonio, Texas real estate, we have opportunities now that are open and available to investors, both short-term and long-term opportunities. Best way to get started, as always, is head over to sastexascapital.com. There you can sign up for our newsletter, download one of our free resources, educational resources. Either of those will get you onto our email list, and you will be notified and be the first to know when new opportunities become available. Our newsletter will provide you with some insider tips and tricks, as well as updates on existing investments and opportunities. So head over to sastexascapital.com, download the free resources, and sign up for the newsletter, and that'll get you onto our email list and get you notified when new opportunities become available. I guess the question I have is, how does everyone feel about 2024? I think personally, I'm very bullish heading into 2024. I think it's going to be a much better year than 2023 was from an investing perspective. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now, with especially given the signals that the Fed has given us the last few weeks regarding interest rates and where interest rates are headed. In 2024, the potential for as few as three and as many as six, you know, possible interest rate cuts in 2024, I think gives us all reason to be optimistic. So given that, I think one of the things that I would predict for 2024 is that it should be a year of growth. And I say that again because of the interest rate outlook, given the Fed's announcement, maintaining rates steady, and then also announcing potential, you know, three rate cuts in 2024, I think gives us all the optimism that 2024 will be a great year for growth in the real estate markets. And then the second term that I would use for 2024 is affordability. Again, given rates where they are at now, as of today, 30-year mortgage rates were hovering right around 6.6%. Again, much lower than they were even 6 weeks ago when they were hovering near 8%. So if the Fed does go through and lower rates as anticipated, there's a good chance that we could see rates hovering in the mid-fives at some point in 2024, maybe even lower. And that, again, gives us reason to be optimistic that 2024 will be an up year for real estate. But as always, there will always be cause for pessimism. Always be cautious. You know, even though we're starting to see rates flatten out, and maybe we're starting to feel a little more normal, you know, after what's happened over the last couple of years, there is still cause for caution. Things can always change and things can always pivot. But me personally, I am trying to follow, you know, the Warren Buffett principles this year and going into 2024, which is, you know, be greedy when everyone else is fearful. So I'm going to focus on my portfolio in 2024 and try to take advantage of what seems to be a great time for investors to get lower prices. So what are some tactics that you can use as an investor in 2024? And I think the first one is kind of the fundamental tactic that any investor does when they analyze a deal, and that's going to be your underwriting. You really can't change your underwriting going into 2024. I think you have to maintain a conservative outlook in your underwriting, especially because things are fundamentally different, even going into 2024. And even though I'm optimistic about 2024, I don't want to try to underwrite deals aggressively, especially because when you screw up a deal, it's magnified in this market. So 3 years ago, you could make a mistake in underwriting and buy a deal, and maybe you bought a bad deal. But as long as you sat around on it for, you know, 6 months to a year, your value might have gone up, you know, 50, 60, 70 grand. If it's a residential property, more if it's a small multifamily or large multifamily. But it's not that way anymore. And right now, if you screw up a deal in your underwriting, you could really get your teeth kicked in. So focus on underwriting conservatively. And I'll give you a couple of things, especially to keep in mind. One is that, you know, money is more expensive in general. Even right now, as interest rates have come down, it's still more expensive than it was, you know, 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, I could get money at, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5%. It was so cheap, but now I'm getting money at sometimes anywhere from 8 to 11, 12%. And so that cost of money has gone up drastically, and it needs to be reflected in your underwriting. So if you have a deal that you're working on and there's any kind of delay in terms of your rehab work, construction, your value add strategy, anything that happens that could delay the completion of that deal, it's going to increase your holding costs because of the cost of money. And that's something I think you need to factor in into your underwriting. Something as simple as a title issue can keep you from closing on time. And each week that goes by that you don't close on time, again, increases the cost of money and increases your holding costs. So there's the cost of money, but I would also say that there's the cost of utilities, which are more expensive now than they used to be as well. And this is something that I see so often, even with experienced investors, that they don't estimate the cost of utilities correctly. And it's better to, again, be conservative, overstate the cost of utilities in your underwriting, so that if you're wrong on the low side, no problem. That excess that you put into your underwriting now becomes part of your profit. But on the flip side, if you underestimate the cost of utilities, well, then that difference is going to be taking away from any potential profit. And similar to the cost of money, any delays in your value add strategy for a property, maybe you had a 90-day rehab window in your underwriting, and that 90 days turns into 180 days. Well, again, that extra cost of utilities is going to really eat into your profit, and it'll eat into your profit really, really quick. And especially if your deal is skinny, you know, if your potential profit margin was going to be $10,000, well, that extra 90 days that you're holding onto a property, that $10,000 can turn into, you know, $6,000 or $7,000, you know, really, really fast. And especially given today's environment, where if you have a 90-day rehab window, you might spend the first 30 days just trying to find a contractor. So again, it's imperative that you not only underwrite correctly, estimate your costs correctly, but make sure that you have all of your partners, contractors, everyone else already on board and ready to kick off a project as soon as you close. Can't emphasize that enough. And that's a problem that I see with a lot of inexperienced investors, is that they buy a property and then they're like, well, what's next? I have to find a contractor. And that takes them, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And they're already, you know, 30 days into it. And that 90-day window has already shrunk to 60 days. So again, utilities, cost of money, have your contractors and partners lined up and ready to go once you close. The other thing associated with your underwriting, again, is going to be how do you estimate your rents? Rent growth is something that's really, really tricky. But I think in most cases, if you are investing for the long term, and for the long term, I mean a minimum of 10 years, and you're, small multifamily, you're residential, if you have that kind of time horizon, you will see a growth in rents. And that makes this a good thing when you are a long-term player, you're holding properties for a long time. So you don't need to forecast rents to grow at 5% or more a year. If you're conservative in your underwriting and you are underwriting properties to grow in rents, 3% per year, as long as you're holding for a long-term, minimum 10 years, I think you will see, potential there for substantial cash flow as well as appreciation, in a property. And it's also important to remember that when you buy a property at that point in time, that's going to be the lowest that your rents will ever be. That's the starting point for your rents. And that's the lowest that they'll ever be. So if you're holding a property for 10 years, you are, hopefully you're buying a property with fixed debt so that you have a fixed payment. So as your rents grow, your cash flow also grows, over that 10-year timeframe. That's the goal anyway. So, the fundamental thing in real estate is always going to be your analysis, your underwriting. And there's going to be, I think, ways that you can conservatively underwrite deals and still make them work in 2024. But you have to understand that costs are higher going into 2024. Not only are your debt costs higher because of higher interest rates, but you also need to add in buffers for construction costs, utilities, and then the cost of obviously the cost of money. And if you do that and the deal still works, that means that you have plenty of room and more profit potential in that deal. And that's going to be a good deal for you to buy. So the next tactic or strategy that I think will be key in 2024 is around affordability. And what I mean by affordability is you have to understand the market that you're investing in. If you are investing, say, in Seattle, you have to understand that the market there is going to be much more expensive. But at the same time, the median income in Seattle is going to be much more than in other parts of the country. So, I invest primarily in San Antonio, and I know the San Antonio market, and I know what the median price for properties are in San Antonio. So what I want to do is put myself in a position where I am in the biggest pool of buyers for properties and as well, also the biggest pool of renters. So if you buy in an affordable range, to me, that's where most people can afford your product, what you have. You want to be right below the median because the median is probably the average person is what the average person can afford in that market. And that's the median rent or median home price. Yeah. And if you're under the median, then you have a bigger pool of buyers and renters. Now, a misconception could be here. When I say affordable, I'm not talking about, low income areas. That's not what I mean at all. It's simply, it's people that are in an area that can afford your product, that can afford to live where you are. So wherever you have your residential property, wherever you have your small multifamily, they can afford to live there. So you have a bigger pool of renters. Plus, from a vision perspective and purpose, we're solving a need. Builders can't really build affordable housing today. It's really hard given construction costs and debt costs. So if we can do it by buying an older house, an older small multifamily or multifamily property, adding value to it, renovating it, making it feel like new, then you're solving a problem. People want to have a nice place to live, and maybe they make a pretty decent income, and they just want an affordable place. So again, we're not changing our underwriting. We're doing the same things. We're being conservative, but we're going to look for the median price of a particular market or a particular submarket, and we're going to stay just underneath that median price and acquire properties at just underneath that price. The further below the median price, the better, obviously, but if you're under the median price, that's a good starting point. The next thing is, I think it's kind of an argument that has been taking place for years in terms of real estate investing, and that's, you know, are you investing for cash flow versus appreciation? And I would say, why can't it be both? And I know it can't always be both, but you know, to me, it's always going to be about cash flow first, and appreciation is something that if you hold the property long enough, then you should see some significant appreciation in a property. And again, for me, a holding period is probably a minimum of 10 years. And some of it also comes down to you as an investor. What is your personal financial situation? So if you need cash flow, obviously that should be the first thing you're looking for in a property. If you don't necessarily need cash flow, you know, say you have a W-2 job that pays you well, then, you know, cash flow may not be as big of an issue, and you'll be looking more at what the potential property may be worth 10 years from now. But you want to have that optionality. You want to have the option of having a property that cash flows and has the potential for appreciation, right? It's not a bad thing to have. I think maybe a misconception about cash flow, though, is that it will eventually, you know, replace your W-2. And yes, maybe that might happen eventually, but you have to understand that, you know, if you have a $100,000 salary, you know, having a property that cash flows $100, $150 a month, you know, how many of those types of properties do you need in order to replace your salary and make you, you know, financially independent? You know, you probably are going to need a minimum of at least $1 million to invest, you know, to replace that income. So it's going to take some time, and it's going to take a while. It's not easy to do. But again, if you are investing for both cash flow and appreciation, you know, over time, that appreciation will help as well as the cash flow. The great thing about cash flow, I'll add this, is that in a down real estate market, say your property, say you bought a $100,000 property and the market is down 5%, so your property is now worth $95,000. Well, that's only a paper loss. And in reality, the cash flow that you're earning is still coming in. So cash flow becomes very important in a down market. And I think some of us can think back to what happened in 2008 with negative cash flowing properties. You know, having negative cash flowing properties in 2008 was not fun. It wasn't fun, especially when you saw the asset value go down. And if you didn't have the cash flow, if you didn't have that extra money to cover expenses, then you might have found yourself in a position where you ended up having to sell a property, you know, at a loss. And that's one of the things that you don't want to ever have to be in a position. You don't want to ever have to sell a property. So again, when you think about cash flow or appreciation, me personally, I always want to go for cash flow first. And for me, that was a lesson in 2008 that I learned, is that cash flow helps to provide you with that cushion to cover some of those mistakes, especially in a down market. You really have to ensure that you're buying in today's market a really good deal. But just in case, if you happen to buy a deal that turns south, you at least want it to be cash flowing. So you have at least a cushion to help reposition that property. And you have to be careful. It has to be a really, really great deal. And then the last thing I'll say is just, there's always a debate also between, you know, buy long-term and hold and buy, renovate, and exit or flip a property. And I would always say, someone who's new to investing, if you're buying a property, the best thing that makes the most sense for someone who's new is always going to be buy and hold long-term, buy for cash flow for a new investor. For a new investor, just, you know, taking on a rehab, a flip, is just such a daunting project. It's so much easier for a new person to buy a property, something where you can add value simply by doing some paint, maybe some flooring work, some cabinets, and then you can put it back on the market fairly quickly as a landlord. But when you're doing a full rehab and you're doing plumbing and you're doing remodels, you're putting in kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, those are intensive projects. And I'm not saying they can't be done by a new investor, but it is something that is going to be a challenge for new investors. And then once you have a project done, you have to try to sell it. And if it doesn't sell right away, again, your holding costs are going to eat into those profits. So if you haven't bought the property correctly, you could end up with much less profit or a loss if you didn't buy correctly. You know, an excellent way to mitigate this risk is to have multiple exit strategies. So if you buy a property with the thought that you're going to flip it, make sure that if you have to hold that property, that it will cash flow. You know, I've had properties that I thought were going to sell quickly, that it took months to sell. And if you don't have the ability to pivot to an alternate strategy, again, that could lead to a potential loss on that project. So make sure you have multiple exit strategies in a property. If you're buying for a flip, make sure it also cash flows in case you need to hold on to that property for an extended amount of time. You know, another way to mitigate risk, bring in partners that have one of two things: either they have experience or they have capital, because those two things are going to be key, especially for new investors. If you bring in partners right, if you're new, if you're inexperienced, and if you want to get into some bigger deals, bring in partners that are experienced or have capital. I think that will be huge and go a long way in helping to mitigate the risks, especially for newer investors. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I hope you found some value in what I see happening in 2024. You know, a couple of trends in 2024, and also a couple of tactics and strategies that you as investors can use in 2024, which, you know, I think is going to be, I'm very bullish on 2024. I think it's going to be a great year for investors. So that will give you some things to hopefully think about as you head into the new year. If you found value in today's episode, share it with a friend, someone who wants to get started in real estate investing. Maybe this is a great way for them to get educated. Share with a friend. And as always, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It just goes a tremendous way to help to grow the show and to continue to attract the type of content and guests that you as a listener, you know, want to and need to listen to. So thanks again for listening to this episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo. If I can help you in any way, if you need a mentor, if you need someone to run something by, you can always reach out to me directly. My email is simon@sastexascapital.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions: How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.